From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns is examining the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy name. This is a request with far-reaching implications, which includes the desire that God's name be made known among the unsaved, that God will execute judgment against his enemies, and that he will restore and revive his people in the experience of his greatness and power. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns draws a lesson about the grace and mercy of God as typified in the Old Testament cities of refuge.
When the Lord led the children of Israel into the promised land and set it before them with all its possibilities and all its promise, he told them that he wanted them to appoint certain cities to be what he termed cities of refuge. You remember that Israel was divided by the River Jordan. Most of the tribes were on the west of the river. So when you hear political commentary nowadays talking about the West Bank, you'll remember that that was the major part of ancient Israel. And then there were the 2.5 tribes on the east bank of the Jordan. So the nation was divided by the River Jordan. And the Lord, in setting up those cities of refuge, set up 3 on the east bank and 3 on the west bank, so that wherever a man was in the country, north or south or east or west, there would be a city of refuge. A city of refuge was a place where a man could be safe from the avenger of blood. That the Bible took very seriously the shedding of human blood. And if you killed a man accidentally, the avenger of blood could come and exact your blood for his, your life for his. The only answer to that was to run to a city of refuge where the innocent, those who were not guilty of murder but had killed accidentally, could find refuge. They would not meet with the avenger of blood. Now, these cities were set up strategically, as I've said, so that anybody anywhere in the nation would not have far to go to get into a place of refuge. Now, those cities of refuge were not only historical realities, they were actual places, but they were also spiritual types. They were pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, to a great spiritual truth, that because of sin, every man is condemned, but in mercy, God has appointed a place of refuge in Christ. Now, in this case, Christ, the antitype, is greater than the cities of refuge, the Old Testament types. They were places of refuge for the innocent who stood in danger of destruction. But Christ is a place of refuge for the guilty who stand under the wrath and the curse of a holy and a sin-hating God. So today, I would remind you of Jesus Christ, the one and only refuge for sinners. You remember that the psalmist David said, God is my refuge. God is my hiding place. God is my place of security. That's what the Christian can say. The Lord Jesus Christ is my refuge. I am secure in him. I'm safe in him. As little children, we learned the hymn, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Well, that's absolutely true. There's absolute safety and security in Jesus Christ. He is the great city of refuge. The Apostle Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you today, are you in Christ? There's no refuge in your own good works. There's no refuge in mere church membership. Doesn't matter what the name of the church is, however good the church is. There's no refuge even in a system of theology. You may be orthodox in the theology you espouse, and yet not saved. The refuge is not in you. It's not in the church. It's not even in the system of belief. The refuge is in Christ. Make sure you get into Christ. You know, if you were one of those who had lived in the Old Testament times and you'd come under the threat of condemnation, you could say, the avenger of blood is pursuing, but he'll not catch me. I can avoid him. I can evade his advances. I can withstand him. I can overcome him. And you could have perished with the city of refuge just beside you. Make sure you don't make that mistake with your soul. Christ is near to you. He's as near as can be. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Enter the city of refuge today.
Be will I love, be will I love.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
We pray, hallowed be thy name. We're praying, Lord, cause us to worship thee with holy reverence. But we're also praying, cause us so to fear our God that we will never fear to stand for thee before men. As I have often put it, to have such a sight of the face of God that we will never again fear the face of man. Peter writes to the young Christians, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And he goes on to tell them to be ready always to give an answer to him that asks, a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. What is he saying here? He's saying, look, these terrible forces, and they were really terrible forces, the forces of Roman persecution
and Jewish connivance with them are set against you. They are meant to strike terror into your heart so that you will be afraid to be disciples of Christ. You will be afraid to be witnesses of God. You will be afraid to be out there winning souls. You will be afraid of your life. That's the whole purpose of this terror. But Peter says, do not be afraid of their terror. Why? How? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. When His name is hallowed in your heart, when the fear of God grips your heart, it will eclipse the fear of man. In other words, the fear of God leads you to liberty. The fear of God leads you to victory. The fear of God leads you to purity and power in your life. The fear of man always casts a snare and brings you into bondage. Hallowed be thy name also means, Lord, cause us to honor and to obey thee. You remember what the Lord said to Moses concerning his decision that Moses would not enter the promised land. He gave him the reason. Numbers 27:14, for ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. Notice this carefully. Moses' disobedience, according to the Lord, was a failure to sanctify his name. Disobedience is failure to sanctify the Lord's name. Sanctifying His name is obeying His word. And therefore we pray, when we say this prayer, hallowed be thy name, let us not do anything in disobedience to thee that would profane thy name. That's the Lord's command, you know. Leviticus 22:32 is still in the Bible for every Christian. He says, neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. See how he's using this? Do not profane my name. Do not disobey my word. Do not disregard my commandment. If you do that, you profane me. But I want you to know I will be hallowed. My name must be hallowed. And as we'll see in just a moment, it will either be hallowed through my sanctification of your life for godly service, or it will be hallowed in judgment and in chastening. Hallowed be thy name simply means, therefore, Lord, let me not do anything that is unworthy of the great and holy name that we bear. We must walk worthy of our God, of His kingdom, and of His glory. Did not Jesus say in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? When we're praying, Lord, hallowed be thy name, we're praying, Lord, enable me to obey thee in all that I know of the will of God, in all that I understand of that word of God. Enable me to obey thee, that men through me may glorify thee. And as I've indicated, when we pray this, we must see that we're praying, Lord, execute holy judgment against the enemies of God, whether apostates from the truth or the heathen. I've already quoted from Leviticus chapter 10. But notice the words again in context this time. Nadab and Abihu had fallen into apostasy. Nadab and Abihu had offered false fire before the Lord. I'm not going to take time this morning to expound the full spiritual significance of that. I preached an entire message on it some time back, and I'm not selling tapes, but if you want to understand it fully, you just have to go get that tape. Suffice it to say, this was religious apostasy. And God judged them. And He slew them. Now stop for a minute. I want you to think how seriously God looks on this sin. The nation of Israel was a large assembly of people. They had over 600,000 men of war. Now, by any standard, that must make them a nation of some 2.5, 3, or more million people. Aaron was the high priest. The entire worship of Israel centered around the priestly work of Aaron and the sons. Aaron had 4 sons. And when 2 of them fell into apostasy, God slew them on the spot, leaving just 1 high priest and 2 sons for the whole priestly work of Israel. It's a solemn thing. And when He did so, here's what He said, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh Me. I'll be sanctified in them. And if they bring apostasy into My courts, I'll judge them. That's what He did. But I pray, Lord, hallowed be Thy name. I must think of the great apostasy that is so rampant in the world today. That is taking satanic delusion, vicious corruption, and it's exalting it to the very place of gospel truth. It's using the name of Jesus Christ to promote the religion of the devil. That's apostasy. When I look at that and cry, hallowed be Thy name, I'm crying, Lord, God, who slew Nadab and Abihu, stand up for the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown glories of His gospel. You think of the heathen city of Zidon. And the Lord said, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon. I'll be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. Judging hallows the name of God. He says of Gog, in Ezekiel 38, verse 16, I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog. In verse 22, I will plead against him with pestilence and blood. I will rain upon him, upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. The Lord is saying, when I hallow My name, I come in judgment. Of Israel, He said in Isaiah 5:16, the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. I want you to understand, when we pray, hallowed be Thy name, We're saying, Lord, the glory of thy name is above every other consideration. We are praying a great and expansive prayer. And we are invoking the judgment of a holy God on all that stands in the way of the glorious expression of his holy greatness and of his grace. In other words, we are praying with the psalmist in the 68th Psalm, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. One final thing. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are praying, Lord, restore and revive thy people in the experience of thy greatness and of thy power.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.